Good morning, Connecticut. And to our friends across the Sound, it's Director of Public Affairs, John Vokette. Thanks for tuning in to Connoisseur Media's award-winning public affairs program for the people, bringing you the latest information to help address concerns in our communities tied to youth, the economy, public health and safety, aging, education, and the environment. Well, we've got some old friends and a brand new friend to kick things off today. I will welcome our guests who are representing the All In movement with some fantastic news and a celebration of a recent achievement that they have enjoyed. But first, we want to tell you that coming up on May 1st, is the deadline for the Westport Pride Scholarship applications. They're offering three scholarships this year to a senior at Staples, a Fairfield County senior, and a Connecticut senior, all high schools. These scholarships welcome all young LGBTQ plus individuals to apply. They want to uplift and promote success among young LGBTQ plus individuals as they leave high school and move to their next adventure. The Staples and Fairfield County scholarships are sponsored by Westport Pride, and the state level scholarship is sponsored by Thomas W. Gendruck and will be administered by Westport Pride. Don't forget, the due date is May 1st. The total award is $1,000, and you need to go to westportpride.org to apply and find out all about the great stuff that Westport Pride is doing. We hope you'll participate. This morning, I'm so pleased to welcome my guests to the program representing All In. This is an organization that is a network of grassroots alliances in a growing number of Connecticut cities and towns where neighbors are working together across their differences to make it possible for everybody to have a home, food, and a voice in the decisions that affect their lives. My dear friend David Morgan is with us. He's representing Team Incorporated, serving the greater Lower Naugatuck Valley area. And a new friend, Jacqueline Baez. She is with All In Waterbury and part of the Naugatuck Valley Project, NVP, in my hometown of Waterbury. Jackie, welcome to the program. David, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having us.
So let's talk a little bit and orient folks to the two organizations that you represent before we talk about how you came together as part of this all-in movement here in Connecticut. Jackie, let's start with you. Tell me a little bit more about the Naugatuck Valley Project, please.
Okay. NVP is an organization with 23 dues paying congregations, labor union, housing cooperative, and ethnic organizations. NVP leaders and members work together to build power, effect system change for the improvement of their local community. So the most is we are like building power, a strong intentional relationships building. And we do leadership trainings and issues exploration and direct actions activity.
And I'm sorry, go ahead.
And we empower the low and moderate income people to their alive and have a strong voice in decisions to affect our life.
So have you been working in this field of advocacy and organization as a career?
No, I just started like 3 years, two by voluntary, and last year they having an open position and they hire me. Yeah, I'm new, but I never get this life for career. I just, start like regular person, mm-hmm. volunteer.
Sure.
But it's when I meet people from teen and MVP, my heart touch because they do like really wonderful work for mm-hmm. the people. Mm-hmm. And, I'm be a lot of proud to they give you the opportunity to be an organizer because they see something I never see. They say I have a power to do that. So they give me the chance. And right now I'm here and you know, the point is told to the community, like anyone can be an organizer and do that kind of job if you want to help the community.
Do you have a specific goal for the immediate future that you are working toward in regards to either MVP or in your relationship with the All In movement?
Yeah, right now we focus in affordable housing because we see, you know, around the world, this is a crisis. So right now we have to see like different options, you know, for the people because it's so sad. See how is, you know, our community going deplorable because they don't have a place to live. So this is one of my goals to, you know, help people to see different actions we have. So recently, MVP did a workshop in Milford last Thursday, April 4th, to, you know, see the cooperative, how they work, and how, you know, we can, like, do something else for the future.
Did you have good attendance here in Milford?
Yes. Yes, we have, probably like 40 people, I think, in that day. So this is a gathering in Milford, All In Milford, I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Did you find that you had interested people attending from multiple communities and not just Milford?
Oh, yes. We have people from Ansonia, Derby, and Waterbury. And I think it's Southington or Southbury.
Southington, yeah. Southbury, yeah. Excellent. Yeah. Very good.
So little by little, we have more communities come from different towns. And that is the big goal for All In, because we would like to include all, you know, Bali and all areas around, you know, in Connecticut.
Sure. Well, the name says it all. David, credit to you and your organization for aligning and being an ally in this All-In movement as well. For folks that may not be familiar with Team Incorporated from their 1,100 previous visits here on the award-winning For the People over the past three decades, just remind folks all a little bit of all of the great stuff that you guys do at Team.
Thank you, John. Yes. We've been around. It will be 60 years next year. We were our agency, a nonprofit human services agency. We were born out of the war on poverty in the 60s, and some of the frontline grassroots civic engagement aligned with some of the across partisan politics on how do we build solutions together, both addressing current conditions, but as well as root causes. And you know, from food insecurity to housing assistance, Head Start and child care, home heating assistance, and many other areas of essential basic needs and pursuits of happiness in life. And in the last year alone, Team Inc. responded to just over 17,000 individuals from all walks of life, from the city of Milford, up the Route 8 corridor, the greater Naugatuck Valley, including we're very well known for Head Start, Diaper Bank, and Early Childhood on the ground in Waterbury and Naugatuck.
Mm-hmm. So tell me your thoughts the first time you heard about the All In Alliance.
Yeah, well, you know, so first, you know, hearing, you know, Team Inc., like Naugatuck Valley Project, we are two of more than 40 organizations that are deeply committed to the All-In Alliances. And hearing Jackie speak that she's new is just another, you know, there's never not a surprise in my work, because I say that with admiration and respect to you, Jackie, because I was at the Milford Housing Workshop last week. And to your point, John, it included people from multiple communities, a lot of residents from Milford, but there are also planning and zoning commissioners, fair rent commissioners, Board of Ed member, and again, the idea of bringing people together from all sectors, all walks of life, all political affiliations, all, you know, self-interests, all needs and wants. I've seen Jackie firsthand, you know, with this deep commitment of grassroots organizing and building relationships on the ground that just pierces through the public and private sectors and, forgive my phrase, the political Game of Thrones, you know, those who know Team Inc., we are Switzerland as a nonprofit. So to hear you, Jackie, say you are new, I mean, I realize the unnatural experience for the two of us to be on the radio, but Team Inc. is a huge fan and is such a grateful ally of this work. And again, Team Inc. and Naugatuck Valley Project, we're two of, you know, there's more than 40 organizations, nonprofit and other sectors. And Jackie represents, you know, well over 80 key leaders on the ground. The last thing I would opine on is, you know, John, you mentioned Waterbury, but Naugatuck Valley Project, their workshop was on one of, when you think about the menu of options, and we all have a very strong consensus around the state of Connecticut and in our homes and our towns that we really don't address the housing crisis. You know, the state of Connecticut will sink our own neighborhoods and communities, our loved ones, our friends, our families, our neighbors, our coworkers. We really got to reimagine how we think about this. So Team Inc's a huge fan of the All-In Alliances. And I think this latest recognition is proof point of what they are doing is so out of the box. And to get it recognized by the Connecticut chapter of the American Planning Association and all of the expertise of planners who are recognizing this piece. You know, we spend a lot of time, very necessary time, on the physical infrastructure, you know, the roadways, the power lines, the rail systems, you know, the acreage minimums, lot requirements. And as we know, within Connecticut, the town sets the table. What we're missing is that relational infrastructure. How do we connect and, you know, through the real and perceived divides so that we can all address what we all want and need for people to have a place to live, again, across all lives, walks of life, all budgets. And so NVP has a 30-plus exemplar of one of those options, their housing cooperatives. I would nudge people to look further into it. It was a really good workshop last week. Having in my prior experience being on a planning and zoning, it was really awesome to see and learn about cooperatives and what Naugatuck Valley Project has been able to demonstrate for more than 30 years. So when you think of the starter homes, multifamilies, accessory dwelling units, you know, reimagining unused commercial properties and buildings, you know, you have to add housing cooperatives to that. And to see and hear that firsthand from Jackie and Alex and the other leaders of MVP is just, it's just why we're so meaningfully part of this work. This can really address the root causality on increasing the options of homes for peoples in Connecticut.
Yeah, I have to say, I'm not sure if you were on this call yesterday with the newly initiated DECD Commissioner Dan O'Keefe and Connecticut Main Street. Yeah. But, you know, when I'm in the presence of people like that and they say, you know, go forth and do something, then, you know, I really take it seriously. And I have been seeing how simple language divides communities, and the simple difference between calling a development affordable and calling it workforce housing. It does something different to people, depending on which terminology that you're using. And I took to heart Commissioner O'Keefe's initiative to, you know, put my shoulder to the wheel and my capacity to do that. And I know you do, and I know Jackie does, to defeat this stigma that is associated with workforce housing in this state and across the country. Some places are getting it. Some places in Connecticut are getting it. And this is a primary mission, and I'm so glad to align myself with the two of you and all the rest of the folks that are, you know, really going to go out there and work hard in our communities to get the necessary housing built. That's going to increase the quality of life in our communities. It's going to increase the housing value in our communities. you know, economic development is community development, and you guys are proving it on the front line. So I just want to say that because I very much appreciate it. Let's talk about this great honor that you guys got. You were recently honored by the Connecticut chapter of the American Planning Association with an award at their annual conference of Connecticut City Planners. Jackie, what were your thoughts when you first heard that, you know, in the relatively short time that you've been, you know, an official employee of the All In movement there in Waterbury? You know, it's great to be able to get an award fairly quickly once you get on the job. Tell me a little bit about your feelings and your experience at this event.
Yes, at the beginning, I feel like a lot of surprising, you know, and exciting, yes, because, you know, I'm happy. But I experienced because I look, you know, when we went to the award, I see different people for different places, and, you know, we can build power with people to do another kind of job, and you know, we see we have it in common. We, at the end, we're looking for resolve a problem for the community, you know. We work together to see we can do something better for our communities. So, yeah, it's really exciting. Share time with professional people, you know, and have different options to do something better.
David, can you pick up on that and articulate a little bit to folks listening why it is so impactive that it was an association of planners that was recognizing this all-in alliances across Sansonia, Derby, Milford, Oxford, Seymour, and Waterbury?
Yeah, absolutely. I would echo what Jackie just said. And also I would invoke, John, you said it very beautifully when you were thinking out loud. And I would repeat my piece on that relational infrastructure. All too often, we overlook that, you know, and you think about, you know, to your point, we need to increase the supply of homes that meets, you know, we have a shared economic, social, and otherwise responsibility to house our entire workforce and our older adults and up and coming, you know, Gen Zs and so on. And, you know, I even think about it. I was elated to watch and see a number of leaders from the All In Alliances come together. The American Planning Association, they convened in Southern in Connecticut for their annual. And I recall the Connecticut chapter American Planning Association president, Emmeline Harrigan, who was really amplifying. I mean, it was Citizen Planners was the name of this recognition, which was a recognition of a citizen or a group of citizens in an uncompensated manner who are making a meaningful difference and moving the needle on this work. And to see and watch that recognition of the All In Alliances, again, you can Google All In, you'll see so many. I know we can point people to the website, but there's so many beautiful written pieces in the media that is shining light on this work. And you're absolutely right, it's a growing movement. But again, I would amplify this sense of, you think of national experts who commit their entire career and their expertise that is so critically needed around, you know, I'm talking about the planners and all the related moving parts that are really looking at leaving transformative, you know, footprints in every community, town, and city of Connecticut. And you think about planning issues, their techniques, how they build public and political awareness around, you know, effective planning and working through all levels of government, small and large, and the consultants and land use and the, you know, business industry, attorneys, land use lawyers, you know, councils of government. This All In piece is the missing piece. I've heard the new commissioner for DECD amplify housing is critical element if we're truly going to move forward onward and upward economically, socially, and environmentally. And so our hope is, you know, and again, Team Inc is one aspiring ally of many organizations meaningfully committed to this work, because we see all too often first and front line too many people who are struggling to pay the rent or pay the mortgage each month.
Mm-hmm.
And so we see this as a root cause, causality solution that can ripple into all the other pursuits of happiness for one another, ourselves, our loved ones. So it's just, it's a testament to the all-in movement. And again, neighbors, I can't remember the person to attribute the quote, so forgive me, but neighbor is not necessarily a geographic term. It is a moral concept. And all-in is so deeply connected to building relational infrastructure. And that's where we will really turn the corner on increasing homes options. And John, you described it earlier. We're going to have to grab your quote, and I'm going to lean into all-in alliances and say, you know, put a link to this, because you really, we're talking about our hospitality and retail workers, security workers,
sure,
our home health aides,
our children,
childcare workers,
our kids. We want our kids to come back to our hometown community, right?
That's right.
Yeah,
that's,
I get
right.
It. Well,
first responders, we want to house them all.
That's right. So we want to remind folks that All In Alliances is bringing neighbors together to share stories, find common ground, educate themselves and each other in local policy and politics. You can speak out at their public meetings and hearings. They'll help you develop an outline or a plan or an idea that you can bring to your political leaders and your community leaders. They can help you win seats on local government boards and commissions, because it all starts locally. So we're going to let you go. We'll leave it at that for this morning, David and Jackie, but let us know where folks can go in their community, or if they're part of Ansonia, Derby, Milford, Oxford, Seymour, and Waterbury, where can they go to learn more?
I think the primary piece would be allinalliances.org. And then from there, you'll be able to navigate, whether it's you're deeply committed to the city of Milford, or you know, any, even near and far. I mean, all the way up the Naugatuck Valley, Ansonia, Derby, Seymour, Oxford, Shelton. We have Emergence in Woodbridge and Orange. Jackie and Naugatuck Valley Project and many others deeply committed in Waterbury and Naugatuck. But allinalliances.org is a perfect place to go to. And then you'll see other links and opportunities to connect if you want to get more committed to a specific local town or city you live, work, or play in.
Very good. Team Incorporated has been a partner with the award-winning For the People now for well over the 30 years I've been working on this program. David Morgan is their voice on our program today, as is our new friend, Jacqueline Baez, who is with All In Waterbury. Jackie, thank you so much. It was wonderful to meet you, and I am excited at the prospect of showing up at one of your meetings and meeting you in person to be able to experience the full Jackie Baez experience that David was describing earlier. So Jackie is also with the Naugatuck Valley Project. I want to thank you both for being on the program this morning, and we'll say farewell for now and get to work. Well, we've got another new friend on the program from an organization that is near and dear to us here at the award-winning For the People. They've been a great resource to us over the many years that we've been working with and learning from Eversource about how to save energy, and their work is being recognized. The sponsors of Energize Connecticut, Eversource and Avangrid, subsidiaries United Illuminating, Southern Connecticut Gas, and Connecticut Natural Gas, have received the 2024 Energy Star Partner of the Year Sustained Excellence Award from the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency and the U.S. Department of Energy. This is big news. I know that it made my new friend Ricky Jordan very happy, as well as most of his colleagues, if not all of them, over at Eversource. Ricky is the manager of energy efficiency. So, Ricky, I mean, you know, it's early on a Sunday morning. Nobody's listening. This was all your idea, right? All of the award, right?
100%.
No, no, no. We know that you're part of the team over there. So, please extend the Connoisseur Media family congratulations to all of your colleagues over there at Eversource. This is a big deal, isn't it?
It sure is. This is our ninth time actually winning the Energy Star Partner of the Year Award, so we're very excited about it.
So the 2023 award recognized Eversource and Avangrid subsidiaries for several programs designed to help customers save energy. I know over the years, and even as recently as just a few months ago, we've had representatives from these companies on the program talking about a number of these initiatives. So let's, if you would help us, learn a little bit more about them if we've forgotten or if folks hadn't been listening in the previous programs. Among the key accomplishments that you were honored for were providing incentives for 888 pieces of Energy Star certified equipment. What's that all about?
Yeah, so we have many programs where we provide Energy Star equipment incentives and rebates. As you mentioned, nearly 900 pieces of Energy Star certified products were installed last year. That's about a 17% increase from the year prior. And those products range. They can be anything from certified gas boilers, furnaces, gas water heaters, heat pump water heaters, heating and cooling equipment. But we also have rebates and incentives in the food service department, which also saw an increase of about 50 to 55% from the year prior. And those different kinds of food service equipment serve gas and electric and also water. And some of those products include dishwashers, fryers, ice makers, ovens, and things of that nature.
Very
good.
A lot of products
came through our programs last year.
So let's stop you there and break off into a conversation that is on a lot of people's minds in my circle. You know, a lot of folks are remodeling their, folks aren't selling their houses like they were a few years ago. They're staying home and investing and turning their investments inward to making their homes better. And part of that for a lot of homes is redoing things in the kitchen. So there's been all this talk about, gas and electric appliances, particularly stoves. Are you in a position to talk a little bit about how the gas stoves and ovens of 2024 and the Energy Star rated gas cooking appliances can do the job and achieve energy efficiency?
Absolutely. I mean, there are still tons of appliances in the kitchen that are Energy Star certified, that our programs continue to support, and we encourage all of our homeowners in Connecticut to invest in those products if they don't already have them. And in addition to that, there's other services through other programs within our residential community that we offer in the house, things such as weather sealing, weatherization, insulation work in the house. Because as we're heading into the summer, we always have to be forward thinking and always concern ourselves with the following winter. So we want to make sure that a lot of our homes are making sure that things are getting tight, things that windows and things like that are air sealed properly, that the attics are insulated ahead of the next winter season, which will be here before you know it.
Very good. I just closed something on myself here. Sorry about that. Come on. So one of the other areas that you had briefly mentioned was in food service, a massive increase in participation in that arena, right?
Yes. So as I mentioned, our food service specific equipment program saw about a 55% increase in the number of products that we were able to process through different rebates in our programs. This led to actually a 32% increase in overall energy savings. And the great thing about the Energy Star certified food service appliances, they can reduce natural gas, electricity, even water consumption, in some cases by up to 75%, and save customers as much as $5,300 a year in their energy costs. So it's amazing what we can offer to our food service programs.
So are these, when you say food service programs, are these like institutional and like school cafeterias and things like that?
They could be. You know, we do service a lot of small, medium-sized businesses. We have programs that serve that community as well. It could be anywhere where there's a commercial kitchen where you would need not a standard refrigerator, although we do have programs for Energy Star refrigerators, but more of a commercial refrigerator, something a little bigger, things like griddles, ice makers. I think, you know, hotels and hospitality can also benefit and have benefited from these programs, and also large commercial dishwashers. Again, hospitality is a customer that comes to mind, but also small businesses, restaurants, and things of that nature that utilize those types of equipment.
So how do, in your capacity and in your position as the manager of energy efficiency, how do you go about reaching out and canvassing these businesses that resulted in such a significant a result, this 55% increase in equipment? I mean, those are some major investments in some cases in some very big players in the food service industry.
No, you're absolutely right. And that's a couple of avenues that we have. We do have community partnership initiatives with different towns and municipalities where we like to reach out to the community and raise awareness about the different solutions that we provide and our different programs. We also like to provide assistance to our small business customers through our small business energy efficiency program, where we actually have vendors that represent Eversource that go out into the field and conduct energy assessments at no cost for these customers and are able to offer incentives and rebates for the equipment if the opportunity is available. And many times it is.
So if I am a food service operator, particularly a medium to smaller business or a mom and pop type of operation, and I haven't heard from Energy Star yet, where could I go to learn more about the opportunities to partner on Energy Star acquisitions for my business?
Well, first off, I want you to give me a call, that's for sure. But if you can't do that, I would recommend going to energizect.com, and you can check out all the different offerings through our programs for whatever type of business you are. But we also have a number, 877-WISE-USE, WISEUSE, which is our number where you can call, and our call center folks can tell you everything about our programs and funnel you to the right project team that can help you depending on what kind of business you are.
Very good. Ricky Jordan is with us. He's the manager of energy efficiency for Eversource here in Connecticut. They just earned their 9th Energy Star Partner of the Year award, this national recognition coming right home here to the folks at Avangrid and at Eversource and their affiliate companies. We are going to come back and talk to Ricky a little bit more about the third element that qualified for this Partner of the Year award, as well as to remind you of some important information about Energy Star appliances and a couple of other programs available to you through Eversource and Avangrid and their affiliates. We'll be right back with Ricky Jordan. Stick with us. We'll help you save some money. Hey, do you volunteer for or receive services from any of the hundreds of nonprofit agencies, community groups, and grassroots organizations in our region? Or maybe you're just looking for ways to help. If your favorite nonprofit is hosting a fundraiser or community building activity, or you'd like to find a nonprofit to support in your neighborhood, just go to our radio station website, hit the events tab, and find one, or discover some of the many causes supported by Connoisseur Media. I'm John Voquette, your public affairs director here at Connoisseur Media, and we'll be back to the award-winning For the People right after this. Well, since we opened up our program today talking about communities in the greater Naugatuck Valley, Waterbury and South, let's talk about the Great Give. So far, more than 57 Valley nonprofits, more than ever before, have signed up to participate in the 2024 Great Give on May 1st and 2nd. This 36-hour online fundraising extravaganza was created by the Community Foundation for Greater New Haven, and it unites donors with area nonprofits in a fun and engaging way, raising money and awareness for these nonprofits and causes with valuable matching funds and prizes from the Community Foundation, the Valley Community Foundation, and other generous sponsors. Last year, the Great Give raised more than $3.4 million for a record number of 519 nonprofits in these areas. And you know they need it. So we hope you'll participate. Registration for nonprofits to participate closes April 23rd. And to donate to nonprofits during the Great Give, you can go to thegreatgive.org between 8 a.m. and on May 1st and 8 p.m. on May 2nd. And you can also register as a nonprofit at the same website, thegreatgive.org. We are back, and Ricky Jordan is with us. He's the manager of energy efficiency for Eversource. They just earned their ninth Energy Star Partner of the Year Award. This national recognition was provided because of their work equipping customers with a variety of energy efficiency programs and resources that helped them reduce their energy usage and lowered their energy bill. We could all use a little bit more money in our pockets, whether we're homeowners or a business operators, corporate managers, etc. We talked about the 17% increase in unit sales of Energy Star certified equipment. We talked about the 55% increase in pieces of equipment rebated to food service programs. Ricky, now we're going to roll out the big number, 166% increase compared to 2022 in the heating, cooling, and water heating programs that saved over 860,000 kilowatt hours for folks here, thanks to their utilizing the Energy Star program. What does that mean?
Well, that means a lot. That's a lot of savings for those customers, a huge increase in uptake from the year prior. Heating and cooling, you know, maybe the most important thing for a business or for a homeowner. You know, what we did last year in terms of those numbers, those great numbers that you mentioned, 860,000 kilowatt hours savings annually, just based on Energy Star certified equipment alone, not to mention all the additional savings that a lot of those customers saw from participating in other programs that we have. But that was the equivalent to avoiding the greenhouse gas emissions that would arise from driving over 1.5 million miles in a gas-powered car, which is tremendous. And when it comes to heating and cooling, we're talking about things like central air conditioning, boilers, heat pumps, thermostats, room ACs, even geothermal heat pumps, which are starting to, you know, to pick up some momentum these days. Lots of opportunities in the heating, cooling, and water heating areas, and we're doing a great job to serve our customers.
Mm-hmm. Well, when customers of any stripe are shopping or marketing for appliances and other energy-consuming products for their homes or business, and they see the Energy Star label, I think it kind of it says it all to some respect that, you know, this appliance kind of rises above others in terms of energy efficiency. But what is Energy Star?
Well, Energy Star, which started in the early 90s, it's basically a way to certify products that go above and beyond in terms of saving energy. There's tons of equipment that's manufactured across the world. But when we think about Energy Star, energy savings, energy efficiency, we're looking at equipment that does a little better, that can still do what it needs to do, but use less energy to do it. And the savings over the lifetime of installing those products is more than worth the investment, the initial investment that customers make. So when you see the Energy Star logo, you're in the right place.
Very good. Well, we like to think the ninth Energy Star Partner of the Year Award was built in part on the quality of the people like Ricky who promote it and the momentum that they've built over the prior eight awards, these national recognitions. But also something new happened last year, and that was the Community Partnership Initiative. Ricky, what's that initiative involve?
So the first want to, you know, just make a comment about what you said about the teams that we have at Eversource. Can't say enough about the team that we have and the support that we give to our customers and our local communities. It's just a pleasure to be a part of this organization. The Community Partnership Initiative is an initiative that we set up with towns and municipalities where we leverage local knowledge and relationships within those communities to raise awareness and increase participation in all of our energy efficiency solutions and programs that we have. We particularly focus on customers that do reside in environmental justice communities and have not had access to these programs in the past, because we've seen that those are the customers that really need it. Right now, we're in our second round of the initiative because of all the success that we had in our first round. We've actually doubled the number of community project teams for this second round. And we have 17 project teams in place right now. And these teams are led by a variety of just amazing, amazing people, different entities, nonprofit organizations, local committees within the towns and municipalities, chambers of commerce, civic association, the list goes on. And currently, as we speak, different outreach strategies are being put in place and being developed, and we're rolling them out with different communities and looking to engage them and do some serious work in 2024. And hopefully, John, you and I are here in 2025 having the same conversation.
Well, that'd be awesome. But in the meantime, you're also engaging Connecticut's youngest audiences and teaching them about being good stewards of our environment and good stewards of their own finances through programs, including this Energy in Action Mobile Exhibit. Let's spend just a minute or two talking about these education programs.
It's amazing what we're doing right now in high schools and in schools. You know, as someone that's been in the industry, not to age myself, but a little over 17 years now, if I had learned what I know now back in school, I mean, it's incredible. I've had the privilege of being around a lot of these schools and meeting a lot of these kids and the things they're learning, that the capacity to learn. I almost forgot, being a little older myself, the capacity to learn for young individuals is just amazing. But as you mentioned, the Action Energy in Action Mobile Exhibit, it's an interactive energy-saving experiment. One example, we have folks get on a stable bike and see how much they can pedal to generate energy. And this exhibit has been visiting schools and communities all throughout the year. I've got it going on right now, actually, as we speak. And it's just a way to kind of just keep spreading the word on what energy efficiency is, what it means, and how you can play a part, whether you're in school, whether you're a professional, just how you can do what you need to do to help not just your community, help the state, and then obviously, you know, help the planet.
Very good. Well, folks, if you want to be increasing the efficiency of appliances and energy-consuming devices in your home, if you're a food service or a business and you'd like to do the same, save some money, create more efficiency, as well as kind of stemming, you know, your environmental output. If you'd like to learn more because you're a principal or an educator or a PTA member and you'd like to bring the Energy in Action Mobile Exhibit to your school, you can go to energizect.com or call 877-WISE-USE and tell them Ricky Jordan sent you. Ricky is our guest this morning for this segment. He's the manager of energy efficiency at Eversource. Ricky, thank you so much for all the information this morning, and best of luck. Our fingers are already crossed for award number 10, Partner of the Year Award in 2025. So I hope we will be talking to you again. If not sooner, at least for this next round next year. So thanks so much for your time this morning.
And thank you, John. I really appreciate giving the opportunity to speak to your audience and continue to spread the word.
Well, Well, we've got a couple of cool events going on April 18th, later on this week. We'll be telling you about one of them in our final segment of the program this morning. But we also want to remind you that the Lab and Concorp's Orchid Gallery is going to have its inaugural art exhibit called Gather on Thursday, April 18th, curated by artist Nico W. Okoro. The art show is going to be featuring work from 8 local artists of color, and it's going to be open to the public for 10 weeks. Orchid Gallery is a division of Concorp, and it was established to invest in artists as creative entrepreneurs and build culturally specific spaces in Greater New Haven. Visitors to the Orchid Gallery opening reception will have the opportunity to meet the artist, explore the gallery space, and engage with the artwork firsthand. Admission to Gather is free, and all members of the community are invited to attend. You can learn more about the organization hosting it and click to get registered at lab@concorp.com. That's LABATCONNCORP.com. Well, we're wrapping up the program with somebody I didn't know was my neighbor until just before we turned on the microphone. And I'm so pleased to make her acquaintance, as I am to make the acquaintance of all the folks who are spending a few minutes with you and me here on the award-winning For the People. Dr. Amanda Nardozzi is with us, and she is with Safe Haven of Greater Waterbury. Safe Haven offers victims of domestic violence and sexual assault free confidential services in a safe, caring environment, and they strive to raise awareness through community education and outreach. Their support, counseling, and advocacy restores hope and helps people reclaim their lives. Organizations like these are near and dear to us here at Connoisseur Media and For the People. I thank my colleague, Pam Rusevicius, who was able to make the connection in time for us to invite you to Safe Haven's Out of the Shadows Dinner and Silent Auction. We're going to talk with Amanda about that in a little while. But right now, let's turn to you, Amanda, and Safe Haven. Tell me about yourself and how you became connected to this organization in Greater Waterbury.
Oh, thank you. It's a pleasure to be here and to make your acquaintance and find out that we are, in fact, neighbors. So I came to this organization about a year ago, but I had been working in a similar industry and worked a lot with the advocates over the years in the law enforcement realm and investigating these types of crimes, domestic violence and sexual assault, for the last 23 years. Position opened up here at Safe Haven and applied, and here I am. So now I'm running this organization.
And what law enforcement agencies had the benefit of your expertise?
I was working with the Naugatuck Police Department.
Very good. Having worked in Naugatuck myself, I know that's a busy beat down there and a lot going on. And I'm sure in your capacity now, those connections that you made both to colleagues as well as victims and advocates in Naugatuck probably plays an important role in the patchwork of communities you work with.
It is, and it's a great support system, both for our advocates here and for our clients that come in. Being able to pick up the phone and make a connection for a client somewhere in the community really is important, and ensuring that client receives help in addition to what we're doing here, but for things that they might need, you know, as they're going on with their daily lives.
Mm. I'll tell you, one of the great things about being in this work for decades is I remember back, you know, 25, 30 years ago when I started this and I was interviewing people like you and meeting agencies like yours, and we'd be talking about the work that they do, and law enforcement wasn't part of the problem, but they weren't as much a part of the solution as they are today. And one of the most gratifying things I think I've enjoyed in this job is, especially with our relationships at our company with law enforcement agencies, local, state, and federal, is to have seen how the evolution of law enforcement's positive like kind of team playing role in domestic violence and sexual assault support has changed and really grown to be like a cohesive part of the kind of the way agencies like yours and police departments and the judicial system really needs to wrap their entire kind of comprehensive realm of services around these victims to be able to achieve the best possible results for them as they are in recovery.
And that's true, that having that partnership is so important as that survivor moves through the system from the time that they're meeting with the officer for the first time and getting that information for victim services, whether that be in the courthouse or whether that be with an agency like ours, which are across the state. And as they go through that process, what does that look like for them, and how are they handled as a victim survivor? And through their pathway to finding justice and finding themselves being able to go on with what that looks like for normalcy for them. Because often what we believe they should be able to get to the other side of normalcy is not how they perceive their daily lives. So having people along that pathway to kind of hand off that client to, or to have that progression and get them through that whole series of, you know, whether it be court case or just getting through counseling, and then, you know, off to maybe they need something else in the community. It really is helpful to have partner agencies that we're able to work with and have a holistic approach to ensuring that client gets the services that they need.
Mm. Well, I think it probably hurts your heart like it hurts mine to think right now somewhere in one of the communities that our radio station and this program is broadcasting. I hope that nobody is listening who has been the victim of a domestic violence incident or sexual assault, but it's even more painful to think of those who do not come forward to get help. As the leader of Safe Haven of Greater Waterbury, a former law enforcement officer and someone who's a real expert in the field of victim relationship building, what do you have to say to individuals who are out there who feel stigmatized by the crime that they've been a victim of?
They really do need to reach out to agencies such as ours. We're across the state. There are advocates here. We do believe you. We can get you the assistance that you need, whether that be law enforcement to assist in filing a complaint or to go through court process or to receive assistance in like civil restraining orders. But we're here to help you through that process and navigate that process. But we are here. We believe you. It's making that first step and ensuring that you're able to get that assistance that you need.
For those who are afraid to make the call because all they see are the headlines in the news reports about how individuals have made the first call for help but haven't had the opportunity for the responders to mobilize fast enough for them to be beaten or killed or victimized again by the perpetrator. A lot is changing now in terms of both legislation and the way organizations do mobilize and how quickly that they respond when those calls for help come in. Can you talk more about that?
Yeah, there are standard policies for the criminal justice system, for law enforcement on how we respond to certain crimes such as domestic violence. You know, the protocols have changed over the course of the years, just in my own career from the first day that I became a police officer till I retired, how we responded to calls for domestic violence changed significantly. So there's more investigation. It's more trauma-informed interviewing. You know, we sit down, we talk with the victim. We really investigate as law enforcement to ensure that we're making an appropriate arrest, making appropriate referrals. But there are standards in place to ensure that the victim is getting the services that they need. On the other side of that, if somebody is sexually assaulted, there is current legislation that we're trying to get passed through this year to have those same standards put in place, that these cases are investigated in the same way, that there's a standard protocol across the state of Connecticut for law enforcement, that we follow the same, you know, letter of the law when we're investigating, you know, sexual assault cases as we would the same as domestic violence. So, you know, pushing for legislation like this is important ensuring that our victims also get, you know, have that opportunity to feel heard, you know, to not be blamed, and to ensure they're receiving services.
Mm-hmm. The other unfortunate situation that you and I both hear about, and many of our colleagues in each of our realms of professionalism hear about is the victims who have to or feel they have to return to the being in front of the freight train of the perpetrator because they don't have anywhere else to go. They don't see a future where they could have value in themselves and a career and a life without that person and can sustain themselves. Talk a little bit about the partnerships that you have with other agencies and other networks like yours that you know about that have, you know, identified that as a reality and are working together to not just immediately remove the victim from in front of the danger, but then giving them the tools that they need to be able to permanently exit that relationship and stand on their own in a protected environment.
So we also, beyond our advocacy counseling here at our agency, operate an emergency domestic violence shelter that is in an undisclosed location. Many of our partner agencies across the state also operate these emergency shelters. So we're able to work with law enforcement when law enforcement is on scene at a domestic violence incident. They call a hotline. They work through a lethality assessment with a counselor on the phone. We encourage to speak to the victim right on scene and try to safety plan. If that safety plan includes getting that victim out of that situation right now, we can get them into an emergency shelter somewhere in the state. We've placed victims out of state. We've sent them to Florida. We sent them to New York, you know, wherever we can find a place in order to get them out and ensure they're safe. But we also provide financial support. There's the crime victim assistance that they can apply for as a domestic violence victim. There's safe homes all across the country that we network with. If we need to remove somebody in an emergency situation, you know, if they have no financial capabilities, no work, you know, we work with that client to ensure that, one, that they have financial resources, that they have medical resources, they have health care, they have, the means to be able to survive to the next location. So.
And there's,
we really do a good job at managing that.
And you have some angel partners who engage very successfully in job and career training and financial management, financial literacy, and even illiteracy. I'm sure you have helped more than a few people who have been in trouble and have been the beneficiary of Safe Haven of Greater Waterbury, maybe get their GED or their high school diploma or go on to college and beyond.
We do. We have wonderful community partners that have come in and actually worked with some of our clients on things like budgeting or, you know, what does it look like to be a renter? You know, how to be a good renter, how to be a homeowner. You know, sometimes they're first-time homeowners. Sometimes they've never even had so much as a bank account, and they don't even know what that looks like. Mm-hmm. So having that financial literacy prepares them, you know, for their life outside of what they've been living through. So having those tools in place and having those partner agencies has been really supportive for our clients and helpful for our advocates in ensuring that we're providing that holistic support to the client in whatever means that they need to go on to their next safe location.
Well, I hope anybody who may have known somebody who's a victim or anybody who hears something that's motivating in our conversation today, Amanda, is willing to also provide a little bit of support. But that comes with, having a good time and meeting some of the folks who are involved with Safe Haven at Greater Waterbury out at your upcoming Out of the Shadows dinner and silent auction. That's coming up pretty quick, right?
Yes, it's coming up on Thursday next week, April 18th, 5:30 to 9 o'clock at La Bella Vista at the Ponte Club in Waterbury.
Very good. Tickets still available?
Tickets are available. They are available through our website, safehavengw.org, or certainly can call us directly, 203-575-0388, and we can get you connected to tickets. Tables are still available.
And in the event folks can't make their calendar dance to open that space up later this week, there are other avenues and opportunities to support Safe Haven of Greater Waterbury. In the last minute or so that we have, just let folks know how they can do that.
So we do have volunteer opportunities throughout the year. We also run a golf tournament in August. So there's that opportunity coming up. We have a hotline that we staff mainly with volunteers. So you can come and be trained as a counselor to assist us with that operation. And there's just all different ways that you can volunteer or donate to our organization. We're always in need of supplies for our emergency shelter, such as new towels, bed sheets, pillows, health and beauty items. We try to keep a small food pantry for our clients here at our main office. Always in need of gently used furniture for a client looking to start a new apartment. So things like that, we're always looking for donations. So if you have any inclination to come and volunteer or want to just help out or make a financial donation, please just give us a call at 203-575-0388.
And folks can start their journey of partnership with Safe Haven of Greater Waterbury, whether you're looking for their support or you're willing to support them or volunteer. You can go to safehavengw.org. Safe Haven offers victims of domestic violence and sexual assault free confidential services that you've heard about in our segment today. They provide a safe, caring environment and also are raising awareness through community education like this conversation, as well as the outreach that they do at events like their Out of the Shadows event coming up this Thursday. We hope you'll get to know them and get to help them and maybe even get out to their event, Out of the Shadows Dinner and Silent Auction, this Thursday in Waterbury. Their executive is Dr. Amanda Nardozzi. Amanda, thank you so much for your time this morning. Best of luck with the event, and we'll be talking to you soon, or maybe we'll see you in the hood. Thanks.
Thank you very much.
You've been listening to our award-winning public affairs program, For the People. The opinions expressed on this broadcast represent those of our guests and host. If you have a suggestion for an issue, a guest, or a PSA relevant to the audience and community served by our radio station, you must make a request for consideration in writing to me via email at john.voquette@connoisseurct.com. We do not accept pitches or requests for coverage by phone. Remember, no part of this program may be copied, disseminated, or rebroadcast. Our public file detailing the many critical community and state issues addressed on For the People can be reviewed upon request during normal business hours at 440 Wheeler's Farms Road in Milford or on our station website. Our theme music is by Rick Miller and Scott's, with original music by Noel Viette. I'm Director of Public Affairs, John Voquette. Join us again this time next week for more conversation and information on the award-winning For the People. And don't forget, you can listen to this and other For the People podcasts anytime on iTunes or under the podcast tab on our station's website. Until this time next week, thanks for listening.